God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. I'm going to ask that you turn with me this morning to Psalm chapter 86. Psalm chapter 86. I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. Beginning in verse number 3. Psalm 86, beginning in verse number 3. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift my soul, and for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all of those who call upon you. Father, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for being here with us. Thank you for hearing us. Lord, thank you for helping us. Thank you for your blessings in this day, for those that we already see and for those we've yet to receive. For we know that all good things, Lord, come from you. And we thank you and we praise you. Strengthen us, we ask in this time. And we ask it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be seated, please. Oh, Lord, be merciful to me. How many of you have ever thought that?
Amen.
How many of you have ever carried it out into a vocal expression? Lord, I need help. Lord, help. Sometimes we just say it like this. Lord. And he knows what it is that we need, doesn't he? He knows. God knows. He's good to us. He's merciful to us. And yet we still, I think, on a daily basis, find ourselves at some point or another saying this in some way or another, oh Lord, be merciful to me. You know, there's a really good theologian whose name is A.W. Tozer. I don't know if you've ever read anything of his. He had this to say about God and his goodness, about what we should see in his goodness. He says, with the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? I mean, what do we lack? If we really keep our focus on God and who he is in that totality, his goodness for our highest level of happiness, his wisdom to be able to plan it and his power to put it in place, with all three of those things working in our favor through God, what do we lack? What do we lack? I know sometimes we can come up with a pretty good list, though, can't we? Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, I'd love to be able to. Lord, be merciful to me. Even when I don't realize what I'm asking, be merciful to me. And God is merciful to us. There are so many things that I'd like to share about this passage, but so little time. I told someone this morning that I get an extra 30 minutes because we didn't have last week. So I've got a full hour of you this morning, if y'all can take it. But I won't do that to you. I will just lead and lay on you what God has laid on me and hope that God reaches you and has something for you in this, because we are talking about God's goodness and his mercy and his love for us. And even though we have all of the things that happen in life surrounding us, pressing against us, overwhelming us at times, we need to remember these things about God. And these are three essential things about God's goodness that I want you to know about, because it's important to keep these in mind. First is his patience. And second is his mercy. And third is his goodness. Now, how many of you, I don't want you to pray for patience, but how many of you know what patience is? How many of you know what mercy is and goodness as they come from God? If you don't, let me put it into a perspective for you. Patience is suffering love. All of these are aspects of God's love. And when we talk about His patience, we talk about His suffering love for us. When we talk about His mercy, we talk about His compassionate love for us. And when we talk about His goodness, we talk about His ministering love to us. And all three of these things are different pieces that are in motion with God for us every day. When we have a God that is so good and his goodness is desiring our highest happiness, our highest levels of happiness, and His wisdom is so great that He can plan it and put it into place, and the power to achieve it. There is none other that can be so good in achieving for us these things. What are we lacking? Especially when we remember we walk every day in His patience and in His mercy and in His goodness. Lord, be merciful to me. For I cry to You all day long, and to You I lift up my soul. You know, we lift ourselves to God every day, don't we? And we ask for God's help every day. And we expect His patience and His mercy and His goodness on our life every day. But how many of you remember in that same day that you're asking for these things, that God is also telling us to give these things? Okay, so now I'm turning it to us. And in order for us to be this kind of person who has a suffering love for others, a compassionate love for others, a ministering love for others, we have to first remember these things and how we receive them from God. We have to understand how real they are, how they are applied to our own life. Because how can we apply it into someone else's life if we can't share the experience of how we have received it from our God and how good it has been to us? We have to know it in order to share it. We have to know it in order to share it. Don't you think? Don't you think you need to know God in order to fully share God? To have lived His mercy and His grace and His compassion before you can learn to give mercy and grace and compassion to another? Because we're not doing it on our level of understanding. We're doing it on the level of understanding He has applied through His own actions. You see, when we think we have it figured out, God raises the bar. Because He says, I'm not asking you to do it how you think it ought to be done. I'm asking you to do it how I'm telling you it ought to be done. That automatically raises the bar. How many of us are living patience and merciful and goodness in our ways, in our thoughts, in our words with others? You know, when we think about it, these three essential parts in sharing God's goodness, they're important for us to understand them and to know them. And if we think about just goodness alone, we understand that goodness is the practice of mercy, isn't it? When I am good to someone, I am practicing mercy for them. I'm showing mercy. I'm living mercy. I'm enduring so mercy can abound. And how much patience is involved in just saying I'm being merciful? A lot. A lot. But how many of us, rather than being told to be good, even by our Father in heaven, be good. By the way, if He hadn't told you today, I'm telling you now, He said, be good. Did any of y'all miss that? How many of y'all understand what I'm saying when I say be good? Y'all raise your hands with me. Oh, Lord, we got a long way to go. Thank you for that extra hour. God says be good. How many of us ever have to tell our children to be bad? God didn't tell us to be bad either, y'all. He says, be good. We don't have to tell our children to be bad. In fact, God says in His Word that there are some who won't be good, who can't be good. In fact, if you look into Proverbs chapter 4, you find this. They cannot sleep until they do evil. Have you met people like that? How many of us were like that ourselves? And God has changed us. We have experienced His patience and His mercy and His goodness. And by experiencing that, He now says, go and share these things. Live these things. Love through these ways your neighbor. It began, though, when God had grace on us. You know, if you stop and think about when was that first moment I knew God's goodness, it began when you knew His grace. Paul says in Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love, He made us alive together with Christ that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved. You can't take a step in being good the way God wants you to be good unless you can remember the grace which you live under, which you have been redeemed through by God above, through His Son, Jesus Christ, who shed His blood for us, who paid the penalty for us, who is the propitiation for our sins, who is the one that stands before the Father in heaven and says, they are forgiven. And the devil standing there saying, no, no, but they did this. And I have claimed them. They're mine. And I have covered them from head to toe. The doorposts, the lintel, it's all covered. And I have entered into them, and they are with me. That's grace and mercy and patience every day because He has to come back and look at us and say, got a little work to do. I'm up for it. Are you? Don't you love it when God asks you something like that? I'm up for it. Are you ready? How many of you are ready for God to work these things through you today? Patience and mercy and goodness. How many of you are asking God to work these things through you today? You see, when we call out to God like this, oh Lord, be merciful to me. We're asking Him to pour these things upon us. But you know, there are neighbors around us who are asking for the same things. And they might not be asking God, but they might be reaching out through the words of others in your community. And do we hear them and do we respond to them? Do we have patience and mercy and goodness that we live for them? The same as we expect God to live for us, He expects us to live in representation of Him to those around us. We have to begin by remembering who we are in Christ and His goodness. For by grace, we are saved. And yet there are still those out there that cannot sleep until they do evil. Even after we have been saved and found the goodness of God, those who are seeking to do evil are especially looking for you. Have you found that to be true? You found that to be true? Hey, you tell the world you love God and the world says, oh, I got something for you, buddy. I got something for you, buddy, yet. You know, that's the difference between male and female there. And the world can really pile on, can't they? I love God, though, when He's with me, and I know He's with me, and the strength of Him is being felt. It doesn't matter what the world piles on, you know, it has to shed itself and go away. It can't stick. It can't stay. It can't overwhelm. It can't overpower. It can't do anything except what I make room for it to do. But when I am focused on the goodness of God and His love for me, and I'm crying out, oh Lord, be merciful to me. Protect me. Help me. Strengthen me. And He's there to do these things. Do I stop and thank Him when it's all said and done? Lord, thank You for helping me in that moment. Thank You for providing my needs in that moment. Thank You for helping me to be the person I needed to be for my neighbor in that moment. And you think, as a Christian, you won't have a bad moment in life? You won't do what's wrong in life? Let me tell you, you have never met Peter. You ever met Peter? Lord, I won't never deny You. Y'all remember those words? How many of you remember when Jesus was about to be arrested, Peter pulled a sword and did something really wrong, really bad, in trying to protect Christ from the moment for which He came? He took his sword and he cut the ear from Malchus, the servant of the high priest. Cut it off. And Jesus said, put your sword away. And he healed the ear of the servant. To the one that was closest to Him, put your sword away. But to the one who was trying to cause harm, let me heal your ear. And to the Christians today, we need to understand that sometimes we experience these kinds of things in our life when we take out the swords and we begin to hack away and to bring down the enemy of God. And God is saying, put the sword away. And heal the ear so it can hear. Give it something to see that represents patience and mercy and goodness so it can understand and believe. And so that between the eyes and the ears, the heart is softened and the spirit is received unto repentance and salvation. How many of you think Malchus was the same fellow he was after his ear was healed? You think he was the same guy? You think he still had the same animosity toward Christ as he had coming in to arrest Him, to help lead the charge in bringing Christ to justice? You think he still had that same anger within him? You think he was standing out there in the crowd crying, crucify Him, crucify Him, after his ear had been healed? After God had done such a wonderful thing for him? Do you think that our neighbors in the world will still cry out, crucify Him, crucify Him, if we are living patience and mercy and goodness for them? Because God has called His children to be good. Remember, He didn't tell us to go out and be bad. But it's just so easy for us to be bad, so easy for our children to be bad. It's in our nature. It's what we're born with. I remind people all the time. People say, I've never done anything wrong in my life. Well, you just lied. How many of you taught your children even to lie? You know, they're running through the house. You told them, y'all be good and don't play in the house. They're running through the house anyway. They knock over the lamp. You hear it break. They come in. You come in there and you're like, my lamp. Who did that? I don't know. They lie. Did you teach them to do that? Did you teach them to lie? No. It's in our nature from the very beginning until the very end. Even with Christ in us, it's still a battle. We still want to cut people's ears off. And hope we get a little bit more. Sometimes when we swing that sword, don't we? God didn't say be bad. He said be good. Be good. Now be careful. Because the Word of God is a sword unto itself. And it will divide and it will pierce. That's not what God is saying. God didn't say to sheathe the Word. But He said to sheathe the anger. And the implements of war. And the implements of destruction. But never be afraid to stand on the truth of God's Word. Because that's where we learn of His patience and His mercy and His goodness. That's where we can see others who have gone before us and see those who stand beside us and know those who come after us will cry out these same words, oh Lord, be merciful to me. And then once we have that mercy, we also begin to understand that's the same mercy He's calling us to give to those around us. I lift up my soul to You, O Lord, for You are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all of those who call upon You. Boy, it's hard to hear those words when God says to love our enemies and to do good to those who hate us. And yet there we are, that same person standing a life of battle and frustration and anger and even hatred toward God's at times until we find ourselves in that moment. I'm lifting my soul to You. And God says, okay, let's talk. Come, let us reason together, He says through the prophet. Come, let us reason together. Can I tell you what that reasoning is going to sound like? It's going to sound like this. I love you, but we got things to work on. I can forgive you, and I will forgive you, but we got changes to make. And I will be good to you all the days of your life. A ministering love. I will minister my love to you all the days of your life. But I'm going to have expectations of you. Come, let us reason together. You know, when you sit down and you have that conversation with God, it kind of hurts and it's kind of painful. And you'll have that conversation on more than one occasion. I hope you have it every day. And God tells you every day how much He loves you and how much He's willing to be there for you, but also how much He's asking you to be there for your neighbor. To be like Him and to love like Him and to have the patience and the mercy and the goodness in your life for others that He has for you in yours. How many of you thought being a Christian was easy and then found out it wasn't? Well, it's probably because we're trying to do it all on our own. It is easy when we let God take care of it, isn't it? With the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? I'm not lacking anything. I'm not lacking in anything. So why am I concerned about how it gets done or when it gets done? Why am I putting boundaries on God? Why am I setting the structure? Why am I saying to God, this is what needs to happen? By the way, I have to have this in an hour. It's when we set those boundaries, we begin to think God has decided it wasn't worth answering. It wasn't worth providing. It wasn't worth having that ministering moment in our life. But when we let go and let God do it, it always works out, doesn't it? It always works out. You ever met people that worry about everything? I don't worry about anything. Lord, forgive me, I just told a lie. I worry more than I should. How many of you can raise your hand and testify with me? I worry more than I should. And God always proves He's there in these ministering ways with patience and mercy and goodness. And He's asking us to love and have these things in our life as we receive them, to pour them out. But only through our experience with Him in these ways can we pour these things out. We have to know it to share it. We have to know it to share it. Jesus said this in Matthew, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." You know what I'm saying to you? Is if you know God good enough to cry out for mercy and to tell Him you're lifting your soul, then you know Him good enough to share that same kind of mercy and that same kind of compassion and that same kind of goodness to those around you as you have received. You are a light that shines from the top of a hill. It's amazing how many people can't see that light shine until it points directly into their eyes. And sometimes we have to just go stand there for them to see, for them to hear, for them to experience. And are you willing to be that person? Are you willing to live that kind of compassion and mercy and goodness for others that you ask from God every day? God thinks you are. He's accepted you into His love because He knows that's what changes you. And He knows that when He says this to you, "I love you and I forgive you, now let's go work," He understands that you might need a little shove every now and again, but you know what "let's go work" means. And He thinks, He knows you're capable and you're able. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You're empowered. You're strengthened. And He is there to help. Wherever, whenever help is needed. Do you trust God that much? Do you trust Him? Do you love Him that much? You trust Him enough to ask for help? Do you trust enough for Him to help you when you're delivering those same things? When you're loving in that same way? I'm challenging you this morning. I'm asking you, if you know how to rejoice in God's goodness, do you know how to celebrate God's goodness with others? Because God is calling us to be that kind of people. And it begins by knowing who Jesus is and finding mercy and grace at the foot of the cross. Don't go to the cross looking for Him to still be hanging there. But do look for the bloodstains that can never be taken away. And understand the mercy for you that those stains represent. Understand even more the mercy those stains represent for those yet to come. And how you might be the one being sent to share it. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior this morning? Do you know His goodness and celebrate forgiveness of sins? If you don't, then I call to you. I invite you. Hear God calling you. Hear God's words to you. I love you. I want to heal you. And I want to give you life more abundant and free. And come to the altar and find peace through Jesus Christ. Find forgiveness and life through Jesus Christ. And learn how to live and to share it with others. If you need to come to the altar and just say, God, I'm here and I've been bad all week and I need help. I'm lifting my soul. Will you help me and restore me? Then I invite you to come too. Because the altar is here for all of us. And I invite you to come now while there's time. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, you have blessed us all so much. Just in the forgiveness of sins, you have given more than we deserve. Father, I pray, help us to be wise with the gift that you have given us. Help us to understand the importance of it and to be the people you have called us to be. And I pray, Father, forgive us where we fail. Strengthen us against this world and your enemies in it to share your love and the strength that you have shared it with us. And Lord, we ask it only to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?